Long. Kurt Nock is the proprietor of Nock's Vintage Records, one of the world's leading 78 RPM and cylinder record auction companies. He has authored numerous articles and is currently coordinating work on the American Vintage Record Labelography, a computer database listing of all 78 RPM and cylinder recordings or records issued in the United States. He's also been very helpful putting things on the thing over there and doing numerous other little things that make this thing run well. So thank you, Kurt, for that. And let's all give Kurt Nock a big round of applause as he talks about the OSS grading project. Final report.
Before I begin with what I'm actually supposed to be up here talking about, I just wanted to comment very briefly on something that Sam Brolowski talked about yesterday afternoon in his presentation on the Library of Congress. He had mentioned that the library is in the process of helping out with a project called the American Vintage Record Labelography, which is a computerized discographical listing of every 78 RPM and cylinder recording issued in the United States. Similar projects to this are beginning in Canada and Germany and hopefully England, I'm happy to report. And I just wanted to say that if there are any YASA members here representing institutions in other countries who might be interested in working on a similar project for the discographical output of their country, I would be very, very happy to talk to them about it so that our efforts might be compatible with one another. I can provide you with full information on the entry format and database structure, and also individuals here in the United States. If you have any interest either in doing research on a given label or entering research which has already been compiled by someone else, we desperately could use your help as well. So again, please ask me. Over the last 2 years, I have been working with approximately 20 other dealers on the ARSC grading project. The purpose of this project is to develop a standardized system of grading 78 RPM recordings, which will then enable collectors, dealers, and archives to more effectively communicate with one another when describing the condition of vintage recordings. My goal as chairman of the ARSC Dealers Committee is to publish, through ARSC, the results of this study in a pictorial monograph which will enable even a relative novice to somewhat accurately grade a group of 78 RPM records. The results of phase one of the grading project were presented at last year's ARSC meeting in New York and were later published in the ARSC Journal last December. After reviewing the feedback from this article, I embarked on phase two. Before I proceed, I would like to recognize the following participating dealers, and I didn't bring a list of those dealers. I'm just going to read their names directly off of their response sheets, and I hope I have all of them here. Phil Pospicala, Dave Canfield, Russ Shore, Brad Kay, Jim Cartwright, Neil Forster, Joe Laro, Tom Hawthorne, Martin Bryan, Larry Holdridge, and unfortunately, I left some other sheets back there in my case. So that is not everyone. There was also Nipper, you know, Jim Peters and Dave Norbeck, I'm sure, Milt Weiss, and several others. But there were approximately 20 people. Not everyone who participated in phase one was able to participate in phase two. Unfortunately, Don Wetzel passed away, and a couple other dealers were not didn't have the time to do it this time around, and we had others fill in their place. I will have a complete list of those names when I make my report to the ARSC Journal. The purpose of phase two was to take the results of phase one couple them with my own experience as a dealer, and then assemble a group of records which would serve as benchmarks for the new ARSC grading scale. This was accomplished, and the small box of benchmark recordings were then sent to the project participants for their evaluation and input. But before I get to that, I would like to describe for you how I determine what sort of records to use and what type of scale that I would employ. Ultimately, there were three overriding concerns. First of all, I felt that it would be best to utilize records of identical character. In other words, I didn't want to use the same wide variety of recordings that were examined in phase one, which ultimately resulted in a great deal of confusion. As you recall, I had a Berliner, I had Hit of the Weeks, I had Pathé recordings, I had 1950s records, all of which helped to show certain things, but created a great deal of confusion when it ultimately came time to sit down and put together a grading scale. So I picked my benchmarks from a large group of Victor Scroll recordings from the 1925 to 1935 period. These records, I feel, probably represent average 78s, whatever that might be, and extrapolating grades from these to other types of recordings should be possible for a grader with some degree of experience. The second consideration taken into account was the presence or absence of defects. Since I personally believe that the grade of a record should be primarily a function of groove wear, I carefully selected records which were relatively free of defects. My final concerns had to do with the nature of the grading scale itself. First of all, I came to the conclusion that the new scale should be an 11-point numeric scale. I decided to employ a 0 to 10 scale for several reasons. First of all, it is unique. Surprisingly, no major dealer uses this sort of a scale. In fact, most use letter codes, and those who do use numbers generally employ a scale from 1 to 6. Further, a mint record for these dealers would be represented as a 1, not a 10. Because a numerical 11-point scale is, at this moment, unused, there will be no preconceived ideas among the collecting fraternity as to what any point on this scale represents. In other words, all those who would choose to implement this scale will be starting off on an equal foot. Another reason that I have chosen an 11-point numerical scale is that it is the simplest and most logical method available. In our society, a 10 has always been regarded as perfection, while a 0 represents total lack of worth. A 0 to 10 numerical scale, therefore, makes perfect sense and will certainly stand the greatest chance of acceptance by collectors. A third point in favor of this scale is the fact that a total of 21 different grades are actually available to the user by employing half-point gradations. Since most dealers in our survey actually use anywhere from 10 to 17 different grades through the use of combination grades such as 2-3 or V++, E-V+, etc., a scale that allows for this degree of expansion is absolutely necessary. Of course, most dealers aren't as discriminating when grading records on the lower end of the scale, so the use of half-point gradations for records grading around 4 or lower probably won't become commonplace. The second issue that I considered was a question of relative versus absolute grading. For the new ARSC system, I chose to employ a relative scale rather than an absolute or straight line scale. Go ahead, Bill. Can you see that okay? In other words, if you plot the assigned grades in relation to the percentage of actual wear exhibited by the records themselves, you will have a curve rather than a straight line. This was one of the two issues I was most curious about when conducting phase one of the study. Our grader survey results indicated that graders generally utilize a curve rather than a straight line when describing record wear. And this concept is best represented by these diagrams. On the left, you have 10 at the top and 0 at the bottom, representing the proposed ARSC grade, 10 being basically a mint recording. Across the bottom, you have various percentage of groove wear. As you see in the absolute grading illustration, if if you were grading with that type of a scale, each incremental amount of groove wear would move the grade down an equal increment in scale. Whereas in relative grading, it takes a much smaller change in groove wear on the upper end of the scale to make a difference in the actual grade of the record. This tendency towards relative grading is, of course, driven by market forces, since the difference in price between a 9 and a 10 tends to be greater than the difference in price between a 1 and a 2. Thank you, Bill. Now that you understand the nature of the scale and the subject records, I will move on to the actual grader survey. These 11 benchmark records were circulated among members of our grading panel, just like the first group. I will read part of the instruction sheet that was included with that box of records to give you an idea of what I was after. Each record has a numbered sticker attached to the label. Do not remove it. This number corresponds to one of the 11 numbers on the grading scale. Actually, you won't find a 10, since most dealers don't believe in 78 RPM recordings being described as perfect. Therefore, you will find a 9 plus instead. Please note that the side with the sticker attached is the side representing the grade. In all cases, ignore the flip side. In an area where you have plenty of light, remove the records from the sleeves and lay the records side by side on a table in numerical order. Carefully consider how the groove wear increases from one grade to the next, and determine if this seems to be a reasonable scale based on how 78 RPM recordings are bought and sold in today's vintage record market. A response sheet has been enclosed for your convenience. Please record your overall impression of the suggested scale, and if you feel that it requires adjustment, please state how. Other comments of any sort pertaining to the grading project, the proposed scale, or record grading in general would also be greatly appreciated. Once you have examined the records and compared them with a numerical scale, please grade the records using your own grading system to see how your grades compare to the 11-point numerical grades. Fill in the chart on the response sheet with your equivalent grades. Just to show you what one of those looked like, this was the response sheet. This was one of the graders who had filled it out with his comments here and in the scale. It's over here to your left. If your grades are fairly evenly distributed over the 11 points, this would indicate that the numerical scale generally reflects your own grading curve. If your grades seem to clump together in one particular area, this would indicate that your grading curve is somewhat different than that represented by the scale. If a majority of dealers report a cluster in the same general range, the numerical scale will be adjusted accordingly. By the way, I realize that some dealers tend to assign all records below a certain point to the same low grade, regardless of how bad they are. If you are one of these individuals, please identify the point on the numerical scale beyond which everything is considered to be a P or a 6 or a V-minus-minus or whatever. For the most part, I received a very favorable response. Dealer grades were generally evenly distributed over the scale, though some classical dealers considered all recordings in the lower portion of the scale to be representative of their lowest grade. Can I have the next slide? What you're going to see here is a table of grades. If we could back that up a little bit, Bill, it might blow it up somewhat. This is a table of grades submitted by dealers who use the standard, so to speak, nomenclature of N or M minus E, V, and so forth. I've chosen these dealers to put on the scale simply because this guarantees anonymity, which has always been one of the critical points of this whole project. What you see over here on the left is the ARS grade. I did give the half point gradations indicated by a plus to enable those dealers, if they so chose, to fill in with their own grade. As you can see, this is somewhat reflective of our phase one results, in that you'll see some people are calling a record a V plus when other people are calling it an E minus. As long as they're consistent, however, in their usage of V plus or E minus, that's fine. It just goes to show, though, that the grades don't necessarily mean the same thing to every individual. You'll also see over here on the right where this particular individual says that anything under four would have been in too poor condition to list. But it does relatively show a fairly even distribution, as did the rest of the grades that you do not see. A few dealers suggested that some of the records were in reverse order on the proposed scale, and you'll notice that in a couple of places up there. Two dealers felt that subject records 3 and 4 should be switched. One dealer questioned the order of records 4 and 5, four dealers questioned records 5 and 6, and three dealers questioned records 7 and 8. General comments included the following remarks, and I'm just going to go through some of these response sheets. The 0 record appears playable, therefore contains a measure of enjoyable listening. There are worse groove condition records. I suspect with a 0 to 10 scale, some sellers will use 0 minus for real bad ones, like P. When visually grading hundreds of records for auction, it's hard to isolate groove wear without other problems if present. Usually they go hand in hand. Some of these people write worse than I do. One looks at it all quickly in three areas: grooves, edge, label, and hole. I don't remember ever seeing a worn-out grooved record that didn't have scratches and God knows what else. Another respondent said, "It's a privilege to be part of your grading survey. My main objection to your scale is that there is way too big a jump in quality between the 4 and 5 grades. Also, your grade 5 sample appears to my eyes to be in better condition than your grade 6. Now, of course, as I do not play grade records, there may be some sounding reason that 6 will play better than 5. Perhaps there would have been, but this grading doesn't have anything to do with the audible characteristics of the record." Here's one who says, "I always believe numbers are superior to letters in grading because grades represent a continuum rather than rigid stratified categories." This was a comment made by Russ Shore, and I just want to mention that I didn't know this when I asked Russ to participate in this project. But as it turns out, he happens to be the senior editor of a publication called Jewelers Circular Keystone, in addition to being one of the editors of Vintage Jazz Mart. He sent me a copy of this article, which he wrote and appeared in the July 1995 issue of this Jewelers magazine, and the name of it is Diamond Grading Reports, Flawless or Imperfect. And what they did was they took 5 diamonds and anonymously sent them to the various grading labs and compared the results. And it was amazing to see how similar the two projects were and how similar the results of the two projects were. That's phase 3. I'll go back to some of the responses. This fellow says, "Very intriguing. You've hit on a system I could live with, although judging from this group of records, the system needs some tightening up in the lower grades." This guy says, "The two schemes seem to align pretty well." And I'm not sure exactly what he's saying, two schemes. Perhaps he's talking about the Arse grade versus his grade. He says, "Since I work with classical records mostly, and there may be one or two very loud spots, as opposed to most pop music, which is equally low throughout, I've graded by severity of wear at the dynamic peaks without taking into accord the actual percentage of surface that exhibits a particular degree of wear." This fellow says, "You have specified groove wear alone as the grading criterion." He says, "Your 6 should be a 5, 5 should be a 6, because the visual difference is overshadowed by surface abrasion, not in the grooves and not affecting the grooves." This one says, "I like your numerical system. I think it accounts for the many mid-grades you encounter and helps the dealer clearly define a grade by the nature of the number of possibilities it offers the dealer. The problem, though, is getting all the old-timers to do it." This one says, Bravo on your 11-point scale. This is a system I have also thought of and would be willing to adopt. I see no reason to detail anything in the 0 to 2 grades. A Frisbee is a Frisbee. Otherwise, I find the system to be quite valid. You'll notice there is, in these responses, there's some difference of opinion. The other fellow said, hey, you know, the 0 is playable. It shouldn't even be a 0. This guy says, I find the proposed new grading scale interesting and will be curious to see how others react to it. It definitely has possibilities. One problem with any grading scale is placing records from different eras on the same scale. A 1902 Climax in mint condition will still appear worn when compared to a mint 1955 RCA Victor. This individual says, and by the way, the comment that this person makes is really the only person I've ever heard who views record grading in quite this way, and it's an interesting concept. But I think that if we were to adopt this fellow's ideas, it might be impossible to do what we're proposing here. He says, I'm following what you suggested, that is, considering groove wear alone in determining the grade. He says, but I personally don't consider groove wear as being a part of any record in above average condition. I see it as a separate damage aspect like scratches, digs, cracks, chips, and so on. As it is the most common form of damage, I've considered it as expected in increasing degrees in records below average condition. But I think in records above average, it should be described. It causes noise and affects the playing, whereas scuffs and rubs would not necessarily do so. Personally, I don't think there's a necessity for one uniform grading system. Each dealer will see records his particular way, as the returns from each of the dealers who participate in the last survey indicated, no matter what grading system is used. Even if all dealers do use the 10 through 0, I suspect you'll find the same wide range of gradings for the same records. It all depends on the person rather than the system. On the whole, I'm greatly encouraged by these responses. Over the next few months, I will tweak the system and replace certain records with new examples that are more in keeping with participant feedback. These records will then become the ARSC scale and will be photographed for inclusion in the proposed ARSC vintage record grading monograph. In closing, I would like to make the following observations. I am well aware of the fact that there are different types of groove wear that one is likely to encounter when examining large groups of vintage recordings. The way a particular recording manifests wear is dependent not only on the number of times a record has been played, but also on the quality and material of the needles used to play the record, the compliance of the reproducer, the weight of the tone arm, the composition of the shellac, the era of the recording, and even the type of music. It would be impossible to devise a grading system that would suitably account for all the different types of wear one will eventually encounter. What I have tried to do is to establish a general guide to aid those who would wish to evaluate old records. Nothing, however, will ultimately take the place of knowledge and experience. Record grading always has been and always will be an art. The establishment of a standardized system of vintage record grading is only a matter of time. As the values of vintage recordings continue to rise, so too will collector, investor, and archival interest. Our choice is clear. Either we initiate and hopefully establish a workable standard now, or we wait until market forces dictate the implementation of such a standard in the future. Our proposed scale may not be the final word in record grading, but it does serve to establish a firm foundation for future refinements. And now if anyone has questions, I'd be happy to entertain those. And by the way, the records that I've put up here on this table that you can come forward and look at when we're finished are lined up, obviously, in order from 0 to 9+. These were the actual records used in the survey, not the ones that that I will be proposing down the road. Any questions? Yes. Right.
Have you considered surveying a larger universe of dealers, not on a specific rating test like this, but on the reaction to your proposed?
You mean the reaction to the concept of a standardized grading system in general? Not to anything. I have not done that. I haven't had time to even consider doing something like that. But there has been a great deal of feedback, particularly in the Joslin's Jazz Journal, from which I read some excerpts at my presentation last year. And not only letters written to the editor in that publication, but also letters that were forwarded to me. Everybody pretty much will concede that what we have right now is not ideal, really doesn't work. Some people say, well, we still ought to just stick with it, but most people are saying this really needs something that needs to be looked at, and we're going to keep our, you know, opinions open. We'll see the way things turn out, and if it looks like something that we can adopt, then we may choose to do so. I suffer no delusions that if this is published, that all of a sudden everybody's going to be using a 10-point scale. On the contrary, I will use it. I've spent 2 years working on it. I feel like that's the least I can do. One or two other dealers have indicated to me that they also will use it. Outside of that, who knows? Maybe nobody will. That's okay. I still, however, feel that this is a much more scientifically based system. And the key here all along has simply been the fact that we ultimately will have a visual monograph so that you can turn a page to a grade 5 record and you can take your record and you can look it over and you can say, well, this sure doesn't look like a 3 and it's nowhere close to an 8. Maybe it's a 5 or something. And as you gain experience, you'll be able to make closer calls than that. Everything up to this point has strictly been written, and it's simply a matter of subjective determination as to what represents moderate groove wear or, you know, slight surface noise or whatever. Come on. Okay, this is something that you questioned at the last meeting.
Exactly.
And like you, that's been a great concern of mine all along. I find that very few dealers really ever make note of graininess in the surface of a recording.
It's never really been something that they've paid much attention to.
Unless it's really, really obvious. Graininess, to a certain extent, is expected on certain recordings, particularly your tricolor Columbias, your Victor Scrolls. Because of the mix of that shellac, there were very, very there were microscopic inclusions which, over the course of time and humidity and exposure to dampness, tend to expand. That creates little microscopic blisters on the surface of the recording. And as time goes by, they are no longer microscopic. And that's something which is considered outside of groove wear, in my opinion. I wouldn't mention it necessarily on a record that was, say, a grade 6 or below, unless it was really grievous. On the other hand, even a Victor Scroll in near mint condition, microscopically, will have that. And it's just like grading, it's a matter of degree. The grading monograph that I'm talking about will be more than just groove wear. It will also cover various types of record defects, and we'll try and define what an edge chip is or what an edge flake or a needle dig, and graininess, and hopefully we'll have some photos of those things as well.
Well, my point is that an unplayed record, two unplayed records might be both considered by the dealer to be a 9+, but absolutely unplayed, but one had been stored in a higher humidity area, and it is, it will be noticeably different in sound.
Well, that's right.
Outside area, it would be noticeable, but they both would be unplayed.
Right. Go ahead, Mike. Okay, Mike behind was first. Go ahead. Well, all of that is material for, you know, documentation and area for papers to be written and so forth. Well, that is really not the case. Well, it's not the case regardless, in my opinion. When you say surface noise, I disagree with you. If you say degree of graininess, I can talk to you about that. When we talk about audible qualities of a vintage recording, we get into so many different areas which are impossible to quantify. Again, my stylus versus your stylus, my amplifier, my tone arm, my ear, all of these things come into play, and I can't quantify an audible system. It's impossible to do. Yes? He was next. Well, in terms of the audio quality, I have no problem whatsoever, and I commend those dealers who say that this record plays better or worse than one would expect for this label, this period, in this condition. That's fine. Anything that communicates to the buyer or the ultimate recipient of the record a better idea of what exactly that condition that record is in, I applaud. So if you say it plays better or worse, that's fine. But if you're going to go with an audible scale, and we all have done business, I'm sure, with dealers who do, and you grade on a record that's graded E+, and it really looks horrible. It may sound E+, but you know, I expect it to look E+ too, and I think most collectors feel that way. Dick? That's right. That's not a bad idea. The big problem with that is that you couldn't grade these records by looking at them right here. Grading needs to be done under a high-powered, consistent, incandescent lighting situation, which we do not have right here. If I graded these records here right now on this table, they would not be the same grades that I applied to them earlier. And so without sending them physically to individuals in a controlled situation, that wouldn't work. And besides, some of these dealers who grade thousands of records can't grade. I mean, I can tell you that. I can't tell you who, but I can tell you that that's the case. And I guarantee you, if a dealer who grades thousands of records all the time has a hard time grading, I would be very, very hesitant to let collectors come in and do the same thing. I mean, it would be interesting. Yeah, it would be very interesting. I'd love to see something like that done. Well, I'm in the dealer's committee. I think the person in membership should be handling that aspect of it. Okay. Yes. Oh, absolutely. Oh, sure, sure.
Would you be willing then to carry the project into that educational area?
Well, what I see the culmination of this project as being is simply the grading monograph. Now, how that becomes circulated is really a function of ARSC, I guess the Publications Committee. My goal here is just to see it brought to that stage. I do have some definite opinions on how it should be made available to people and to dealers, and I'll make those recommendations, but again, that's not really my my decision. As most of you are aware, right, I made an appeal in the ARSC newsletter a couple of issues back for some help in that very question, and this has always been the limiting factor in this whole project. If we can't get accurate photographic representations of these recordings, then basically we've performed an exercise in futility. However, about a month ago, I had the opportunity to play with a Dicomed digital camera. This is a $50,000 piece of equipment, and it's owned by Heritage Coin Galleries in Dallas. And my friend Mike Sherman, who helped me on phase one of this project, works for Heritage. He's in Paris. He's living in Paris now, but he came into Dallas for a short period of time, and we did play with that. Through scanning the discs and then playing with it in Photoshop, I believe that I can get images that will work. I may have to create it. I may have to paint a groove pixel by pixel, a worn groove on a record in Photoshop. But I feel that with time, something like that could be accomplished. Yes. Well, I appreciate that, and we. Yeah, well, I'll talk to you about it, but it has been something that we've investigated. It is a very daunting problem, and even extremely experienced photographers have basically said, you know, you're not going to be able to do this. Yes, Mike.
Is it possible to possibly use the numbers for the groove wear and pluses or minus for the shellac condition?
Well, it's possible. I think that if pluses and minuses, were they to be used, would apply to the various gradations. Anything beyond groove wear can be described separately. Now, I don't know how many of you have seen the interplay in Joslin's Jazz Journal over the last couple of issues, but there's been one fellow out in, I think it's Arizona, and I've talked to him at great length on the phone and through correspondence, and he has some very, very interesting ideas in terms of describing recordings based on groove wear, also their audio characteristics, using some pretty elaborate audio setups. Also going into the depth of scratches and the number of grooves that they affect and all sorts of things. And he's put a lot of thought into it. And I think that perhaps over time, again, as we start seeing records selling for $10, $20, $50,000 a piece, which is going to happen, then things like that will be looked at. Some of you may be coin collectors. You know, for a long time, coin collectors muddled through, just like we muddle through now. But eventually, some people got together, and various things like the ANA grading system and PhotoGrade and so forth were put together as guides, photographic guides for people to use. And why did that happen? Because the values of coins were getting to the point where small differences in condition made huge differences in value. In fact, this book was published just a year or a couple of years ago. It's called How to Grade U.S. Coins. Mike gave me this when I was up there in Dallas. This is a fascinating book, and it was a very expensive book to produce. It's got color in it. It goes through all the various coinage issues. But the incredible thing about this is this entire book is for grading nothing but uncirculated coins. There is going to be a day when we will have to have a book for grading mint records. It will come to that. Steve.
One other point is a concern.
Yeah, but you're talking way down the road. We're not anywhere near that. What I'm talking about here is really no more space or effort than what we've been doing.
I understand that, but as these adjunct descriptions come in, we're going to have to find some kind of abbreviation for those so that it does tend to stay compressed data rather than become paragraphic descriptions where you suddenly find you can't even afford to sell a record below a certain condition because the question will list it.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Vince has moved over here for a better view, so I think we'll take a couple more questions, and then anybody who wants to come up and look at these is welcome to. Anybody else? Well, sorry, Vince, you were a little late. Thank you very much.
Okay, we're going to break at this point, and I'm going to let our president bring you back for the business meeting. Okay?